What if I tell you that having a baby could be easy? How can you have your beautiful, positive, unmedicated, and natural birth so that you can step into your conscious motherhood? Hello, my name is Bibi. I am a midwife, a birth coach, and I am an early motherhood coach. And I'm here to show you how birth can be easy. You know why? You're never going to forget that day, and you want it to be the best day of your life. Tune in while we'll dive in on how you can have your positive birth and you can have a positive motherhood. Happy listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this new episode of Your Holistic Midwife. It's always me, Bibi, your favorite midwife. And today I am joined by Niala. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Do you just want to introduce yourself, darling?
I'm Niala. I'm a mom of seven. I'm homeschooling them. I'm a free birther. And that's pretty much me summed up. That's my life.
Wow, that's amazing. Seven kids. Okay, where do we start?
Do we talk about the twins first or the...
I guess let's start from the beginning. Let's start from your first kids that then led you to your pregnancy with the twins. So just like quickly, like just talk us through your first five kids.
The first three were hospital births, and it was just the regular checkups, the whole just that whole scary thing, like you could die in birth. So, you know, you rely and put so much of your whole body and your baby's sort of health in these people's hands, sort of thing. So that was like the standard kind of pregnancies. Like, but luckily I didn't have any too much interventions, as in they were all vaginal, they were drug free. And yeah, so I was fortunate enough to have those births. And it wasn't until my fourth birth, my fourth pregnancy. Well, yeah, I had a miscarriage, like a pregnancy loss in between that, and I had that baby at home. So that led me to go, I can have babies at home. And
so which one did you have at home?
So my first technical, like, free birth at home was my miscarriage in 2018.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, my first free birth was with my fourth son. My fourth. And that was, I didn't know anything about home births. I didn't know anything about free births. I didn't know anything, but I just knew I had to have this baby at home.
What led you to think, like, from, you know, the three hospital births, being like, okay, my fourth is going to be at home?
I think that I seen on Facebook that a thing popped up, and it was the Free Birth Society. I'm not sure if you were familiar with that, because I was
I always say to them, you're my angel, because if it wasn't for them, now I don't know where I would be. So I always say to them, I always say to Emily, you are my angel. I am so grateful. So I said to her, anything you need me to do, anything you want from me, I will just do it. Because if I'm here, if you see this version of me, is because I just clash onto you. Otherwise, you'll see another version of me that you would not like.
There was that Facebook page that got taken down. But before it got taken down, I was following that. And then my eyes just kind of opened to everything. I was like, I didn't know women did this. I didn't know women, like, looked after their health. They didn't need medications for everything. And, like, and then it just, you kind of fell into a rabbit hole of, like, how much we can look after ourselves.
I feel you. That was me also. I was like, what?
So that was like a huge pivotal change back in 2018. And then 2019, we had our first free birth at home. And I kept it quiet from people, because I just didn't want negative backlash from people going, like, you're gonna kill your baby, or like, I don't know. Like, so I kept it kind of secret. When he was born at home, it was that moment where you're like, oh my god, we did this. And it was like the whole world changed.
Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah. Did you still have like a midwife or an obstetrician during that pregnancy?
For that fourth pregnancy, because I was kind of scared. I was scared that if I just had a baby at home, something might happen. So I did go to an appointment and did the like monthly midwife appointments, and I just kind of again kept it quiet that I didn't want to have a hospital birth, but I just wanted to be like have a paper sort of trail to say that I was pregnant, because I didn't know how it all worked. If I just had a baby at home, people would question where did that baby come from, because when I did have that baby at home, I think 2 days later I rang up the hospital, because we have like from my three previous pregnancies, they had house visits, like to kind of weigh the baby or check up on you. So I rang them up and said, I've had my baby at home. I'm just wondering if you could come over and like kind of do the weighing and just check, like come check me. I don't know, because again, I thought we had to get checked. And so again, another learning curve was just don't ever ring the hospital.
So after today, you rang the hospital, what happened there?
Yeah, so they rang me, and I rang them, and then I was like, yeah, after I said I had the baby, they said, how do you know it's your baby? And then I was like, I've had the baby. I'm like, I went to my visits, I've got all my paperwork with you to say I was pregnant. Then this lady was very rude and was like, no one's coming out to see you. We don't know if that's your baby. And then I was kind of like, oh my God, the police are going to rock up my house. Like, I just kind of freaked out. And then I hung up the phone and I was like, oh no, Mitchell, like, what have I done? And then another lady ended up ringing me back and apologized for the lady's kind of behavior and kind of verbal vomit sort of thing that she was kind of projecting over on me. But yeah, then she apologized and said that they weren't used to anyone having a baby at home and not coming in straight away, because like I had waited a few days to contact them.
Yeah, and you live in Australia, is it?
I did just 2 hours away from Sydney. And so like, yeah, so the lady was apologetic and just kind of she just recommended me to contact like a community nurse that we have down here, and she'd come and do some house visits if I wanted the baby weighed and measured and things. But again, I kind of unlearned that that's not a necessary thing to do. It's fun like to find out the birth weight and things, but like I found that it's not necessary. I learned later. But that kind of not ruined the experience, but just made me freak out a bit. But then I had my fifth, and because of all that paperwork and worrying, I did hire a private midwife, but I didn't contact her when I had the baby at home. So then she was all cool about it. But then all the paperwork and everything was done for me, and I was thinking that was a very expensive paperwork.
An easy path, but an expensive one, isn't it?
So that was my fifth birth. And
With your fifth birth, you knew that you were going to free birth.
Yeah.
You knew that you didn't want to go to the hospital. So you thought to yourself, okay, what's in between? So the easiest way of doing it is just to hire a private midwife. I'll pay her for her job. I will tell her that I will call her for my birth. And then I will not call her and still have my free birth.
So that was the expensive way for each pregnancy.
Yeah, because in Australia, it's anything between $6,000 to $8,000, you know, for a midwife.
That my mom was 4.5 because I had contacted her so late as well. So I'm pregnant. But like each pregnancy, I kind of got a bit better. It was like stepping stones. And then I always said that there were stepping stones that led me to an amazing twin birth.
To register the baby with your fourth, how did you do it?
So yeah, like 3 days. So it was my third day. I went back up to the hospital, and that's when I got the paperwork. They just had to me and the baby. And that's when I was like, I don't want to do that ever again. I don't want to take the babies to hospitals for no reason. And so that I thought private midwife, I have the paperwork there, it's all done. So that was an expensive pregnancy, but it was a better one where I didn't have to leave the house or freak out about not my baby's not mine and police are going to knock on the door. Like that. Peace of mind. It was kind of more the postpartum care, as in like I just wanted that postpartum care. And again, it was expensive, and I suppose people should look into doula maybe, or things that are a bit less cheaper if they want that postpartum care. But then I thought for the next pregnancy, I was like, nah, I'm not doing anything. I'm not. And again, I didn't have any ultrasounds, so I wasn't expecting twins. So I thought, I have straightforward births. I'm pretty experienced now, so I don't need anyone. So I was like, okay, so this is my sixth pregnancy. I had a pregnancy loss just before the twins, and that's why I think maybe my body might have released two eggs at the same time, maybe. Like, I don't know how my body works, but that's my theory. I had a pregnancy loss and then it kind of just came out at the same, like two at the same time. But so I fell pregnant straight away. So the next month, and then pregnancy was like, just like all the other ones. I don't really tend to get
So
did you
wee on a stick? Did you go for an ultrasound, or you just knew you were pregnant? How did it work?
I knew I was pregnant, because like ever since like I was like 10, 11, I've always had my period like on the dot each month. And even after I give birth, I have my period straight away. So I always knew there's no blood, there's a baby in there. So after I had my pregnancy loss, the next month came and I knew that I must be pregnant. We're trying, as in like if it happened, it happened, but we weren't forcing it to happen. But so when my period didn't come, I knew straight away I must be pregnant. So I don't need to wear on sticks, and I don't need blood tests to tell me that I'm pregnant when I knew that I was pregnant. And I stopped doing that in 2018 and 19 as well with my fourth. I didn't do. And that's another thing. I was a very red flag with the hospital with my fourth, because I'd turn up to my appointments and they'll be like, where's your ultrasound? Where's your blood test? Where's this? And I'd go, and or you're gestational. And I said no to everything. And I was just purely there to be witness that I was pregnant with this baby. So I didn't get in trouble, because I thought we might get in trouble for being pregnant.
And I guess this is the fear that a lot of people have. And even when sometimes I do some of the posts, people are like, if it was that easy. And I say to everybody, actually it is. You just need to know how to do it. What is the pathway that will not send you into trouble? You know what I mean? But I can assure you that having your babies, or deciding like not to do something, or not going to the hospital, like, there's no way that thing is going to get you into trouble, unless you're seeking for trouble and you're acting in a way that you are wanting trouble. You know what I mean?
I used to think that, just be quiet. And then I was thinking that, this isn't the support that I need. And that's why I looked for a private midwife that was very alternate, as in she didn't need to have all those things as well to go, I can look after you. So it's kind of like, we won't get in trouble, but you just don't want to get red flagged, like, as in. But so I stopped doing pregnancy tests and everything, because I kind of, again, free birth society really makes you feel like you're responsible for your own health, and kind of understanding that your periods and your period is just kind of like your way of telling you you're pregnant, especially if you have a regular cycle, and no one else. You don't need outside people to tell you you're pregnant, and that includes, for me, a pregnancy stick as well, because again, it's all about that pharmaceutical sort of thing as well. I didn't want to give money to anyone. I was just like, so I stopped doing that 2018-19, and so this one, again, I felt fine. A bit morning sickness. So I thought, like, oh, it must be a girl, because I've got a lot of boys. And so I thought, okay, this must be a girl. I'm very, like, tired. I've got a bit of morning, like, sickness, but not too bad. And then so I went from pretty much from when I was found out, like, when I knew I was pregnant, all the way to 28 weeks. I felt like it was a normal pregnancy, but one thing that I did just for like my own self-care was I used a stethoscope to see the baby's heartbeat. And I remember,
did
like,
you use just a normal stethoscope?
Just a normal stethoscope. That I got from eBay. So I used that from my fourth pregnancy too. Like, I'd hear the heartbeat and I'd be like, oh, like, that's my kind of my self-care sort of looking after. And And then for this pregnancy, I noticed I couldn't pick up the heartbeat straight, like the heartbeat straight away. So it was around 28, I could feel the baby moving. I said to my partner, I can't hear the baby's heartbeat. It's either these are dodgy now and broken, or like the baby's just in a weird position. So looking back, I just think they're all a bit smaller to pick up, sort of thing. But yeah, so I was like, oh, I can't. And so I ordered a new pair. Like I thought they were dodgy. I was like, I can't find the heartbeat and the baby's kicking. I get heart, like the hiccups and everything, but I just can't pick up a heartbeat. So
So
then from
why did you
20,
want to hear to the habit of the baby?
I don't know. I think I just like the noise. I think that whole like I'm taking care of myself. But again, after that pregnancy, I said to Mitchell, like, and I read Yolanda's portal book, and she was talking about like, yeah, stethoscope still being like a man-made sort of intervention. That's when I was like, oh,
Yeah, well,
that
it's
is,
more
yeah,
like
that is,
yeah, I think it's more
yeah.
like we feel the need, I guess, to do
We
something, but
want
it's
that.
like it's because it's been seeded in us since when we were born, you know. So it's kind of like I love Yolanda's job and also like, you know, Emily's, but it's very, very hard, like I guess when you are in there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did like to do that just because I loved hearing that heartbeat, and it was kind of my form of like no ultrasounds or anything. So I just thought like I just love hearing that heartbeat, and then but now I'm just like, yeah, I don't think it's necessary at all. Because it wasn't stressing me out. I just thought it was very weird that I wasn't like hearing a heartbeat compared to my other pregnancy. So that was kind of like a red flag to go like, this is a bit different pregnancy. And then 28 weeks, my heartburn just kind of went from a little bit of heartburn to like extreme heartburn. Like I couldn't keep food down as in because I just everything felt like it was burning. I couldn't even drink water sometimes. I felt like I was dying sometimes. I was like, this
I
heartburn, I
feel
didn't want to
you.
take
I
anything.
feel you. I'm like a twin mom. I'm like, I am feeling you so well right now.
Eating dinner, like, and I had hardly anything to eat because I just could not, like, after I knew that the pain I would have felt after eating, like, so I'd have little bits of everything and then little bits of water. I'd have bicarb water, I tried apple cider, cucumbers, chewing gum, like, everything. But yeah, that was like, I didn't want to take any other medication because I just knew that it wouldn't be healthy. So I was like, I just got to withstand it, like, I just got to. Tough enough. So I don't know. I was just like, gotta. I thought at the time it was just me kind of, I'm getting old. This is like my sixth pregnancy. I just, yeah.
How was the belly growing? Was the belly growing normally? Was it bigger? Did you notice anything different?
So my belly didn't pop out. It was pretty much from 28 weeks onwards is when I had this huge shift. Like the heartburn hit, my belly started like kind of poking out a bit, and I'm more of a mum body that kind of goes wide than forward. So like I kind of can keep, not keep that I'm pregnant, but I suppose people kind of have to be careful if they think that I'm a bit chubby or pregnant sort of body type.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Why for me,
Yeah.
I go forward. So like at
Yeah.
12 weeks, everybody's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a wide person, so mine more in my hips. And then all of a sudden at 28 weeks, this belly started popping out. And I was like, oh, like, I swear I'm big. Like, and I'd say to my partner, I'd like, this is a really big belly. He goes, yeah, no, it's bigger than usual, isn't it? And other people, I'd ask like other friends, I'm like, oh, my belly's really big. Like, no, you're not that big. I've seen babies with twins, they're huge. Like, you haven't got a huge belly. So I was like, yeah, this is, I just thought, I said, for me, it looks big. And then around 32 weeks, again, my belly just felt like a, not a mess, but like, I just felt kicks everywhere. Like, I was kind of like, where's this baby laying? Like, I said to me, I'd lay down, I'd try and belly map, and then I'd be like, I don't know, I can feel kicks up here, but then I can feel kicks down there. I'm like, maybe it's like punching like this. I'm just like, I don't know. I had no idea what was going on my belly. And then again, I said to my partner, I'm like, do you think we need an ultrasound? He goes, and then he goes, what do you think? I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I'm like, I'm 32 weeks. We're so close. I don't think I need anything. And he was kind of my reassurance for everything. Like, kind of, I'd question it, but he'd go, like, do you really want to? I'm like, no. So I was like, no, I'm not having any ultrasounds. And But then one morning I was eating breakfast and then I felt hiccups up the top of my belly. And then I was like, oh, there's baby's hiccups. And I thought, I think the baby might be breech. So I said to Mitchell, I said, you know, I think this whole pregnancy, I thought there's something wrong. But I said to him, I think the baby's actually breech, because he was a breech baby. And I know it's not hereditary, but I just thought, like, I don't know. I knew in my head that, like, I'd always wanted a breech just to experience that whole, like, I tell people, like, as a woman, like, just a birth sort of guardian, like, people can have, like, breech birth and it's safe and it's, like, yeah, it's normal. And I kind of was thinking, I preach it, but I've never actually experienced it sort of thing. So it's totally different to, like, preaching it, going, yeah, it's normal. Like, you can do it.
I'm like you. Because my second was breech, so I was like, yeah, I've got a breech baby, but no, she came out and down in the end. So I know, I totally feel you, and I know what you're saying.
So yeah, so it was between, yeah, 34 weeks now, I'm like, it's breech, it's got to be breech. And you know what, I said, I'm happy, I'm fine, like, I don't want to turn the baby. I was thinking, are we meant to turn the baby? I was like, no, I'm having breech. I tell other women to have breech. I'm like, I'm doing it, and I know that it's breech, and I want a breech. And then so I said, that was my, like, answer to everything. My heartburn, my belly, like, kind of moving so much in opposite directions, and the hiccups are really high. So I thought, this baby's definitely breech. So I went in thinking this pregnancy, that like, for birth was going to be breech. And and I said, like, me and my partner would joke around and go, it's probably twins in there, it's probably twins. But, like, there was nothing. I didn't know there was twins in my family. Like, yeah, I don't know anyone sort of with twins, and what a twin belly look like or anything like that. So we used to joke around and go, I think there's twins. But I think we've said it in other pregnancies too, like, when you're kind of really full and you kind of like, this belly's so big, it must be twins. So at 34 weeks, yeah, I straight away knew that it had to be breech. And then I said to my partner, though, I said, I don't know, I just kind of feel like, oh, and then when I had the hiccups up the top, I got hiccups on the bottom, and then I was like, oh my God, Mitchell, feel this. Cause you can feel hiccups, like, on the outside. And, and I was like, can you feel that? I said, there's hiccups happening here. And I said, and then, like, that one up the top stopped, and then the bottom one started. And I was like, can you feel the two different hiccups? And he's just like, I think so. And then I kind of convinced myself, I don't know where this, that I had a big artery going across my belly. Making, like, pump noises. So I was like, oh no, it must be like a big artery across my belly. Like, I was like, it must be making, like, pumping, like, I don't know. Just kind of wasn't.
So
yeah,
in your crazy brain, there was one baby.
Yeah, so in my head I thought there's one baby, could be twins, but in my head it was one baby. And but I said to Mitchell, I said, if I have a baby at 38 weeks, I have a feeling it could be twins. I said, I don't know why. I said, if it goes to 40 weeks, or even though I know you went to 40 plus weeks and had twins, but I just thought 38 weeks.
No, I was 38, 38 and 3 days.
Oh, you're 30. I thought you were 40 plus.
38 and 3 days.
So, yeah, I thought 38 weeks, if I go into labor at 38 weeks, they could be twins. And then so then I wrote down, like, okay, babies are coming exactly 38 weeks on the 8th of the 8th. And I said, and there'll be twins, and there'll be breech, and then, like, so I started writing, like, my birth kind of story, dream, plan, everything in this little diary that we do, because we do it in each pregnancy. We kind of, it's like our guessing game, like, kind of, it's a boy, girl, height, weight, and everything. So I wrote it all down, and I wrote, like, we're having twins, we're having, yeah, breech birth, and I wrote girls.
So you started to suspect that they were twins at that point. Yeah. You're like, I think they are twins.
Yeah. Especially when I had the hiccups. I was thinking the hiccups gave it away.
Yeah.
And then I think around 35 weeks, 36 weeks, I got a tape measure, and I measured my the belly, and it said, like, 40 plus sort of centimeters. And I was like, I must be doing it wrong. And then I did it again, like, a week after. I'm like, it's like 41 centimeters now. And I was like, oh, I don't know. So I was like, again, I thought stethoscope, the measuring is kind of like all man-made sort of, like, indication. So I was like, yeah, throw it away sort of thing. And then what happened? So at 38 weeks, Exactly, 38 weeks. I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm still breastfeeding my toddlers. And she woke up. Oh, actually, I had a dream, and I had a dream that I had to go to the toilet and do a poo. So like, I was like, I woke up and I'm like, oh, okay. And then my daughter was awake, and I gave her some breast milk, and then and in my birth sort of plan, I said to Mitchell, like, we've had pretty involved births, as in three hospital births where midwives were involved. We had our free birth where our kids were involved. And so I thought this would be our last, like, pregnancy. And I said, I really want, like, just an intimate birth with just you and I. And I said, I won't, if I go into labor, I won't wake up the kids. It'll just be me and you sort of thing. And I said to him, like, we don't need to worry about cameras. I just want it to be, like, my little line den. Like, I just want to be dark just between me and you. And that was kind of, like, the goal. And so when I woke up, that Tuesday morning, it was like just after, it was 5:15. I started getting not cramps in my belly after I fed my baby, a toddler. I started getting kind of pains in my vagina, and then I was like, oh, I'll go sit on the toilet. And then I went and sat on the toilet, and the pain kind of went away, and then I kind of got back up again, and then it came back. Like, it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's just a weird kind of vaginal pain. I've never had it before. And then I came in, and like, it was 5:30. I woke Mitchell up and I said, oh, not to alarm you, I don't think I'm in labor. Like, there was no case I was in labor. I just thought, like, I'll get Mitchell up before I get the kids up, or the kids will be awake soon, so let's have a few moments on our own. And so I woke him up. He's a sleepwalker, so he was kind of like, what's going on? So I remember, like, I caught him over, I wake him up, and I was waiting for him to come, but then he was walking somewhere else. I'm like, Mitchell. He was so half asleep.
Love it.
And I was like, could you go get my yoga ball? I'll go and sit on the toilet and have a shower. And then I went and had a shower, and I said to Mitchell, I'm not in labor. I haven't got any of the back belly kind of cramping. It's not like a continuous pain, it's just like this random sort of stabbing pain inside my vagina, like it's inside my vagina. And then I went and had the shower, and we're just kind of laughing and just kind of giggling, and then next minute I said, oh, that cramp's coming again in my vagina. And next minute my water's just exploded, and then I was like, okay, maybe I'm in labor.
Oh my gosh.
Next minute, so like I was like, oh, so like the waters came, like I've seen, it was all clear, so that was there, so it was again all good. And then next minute, like, I was like, oh, Mitchell, can you dry me, I can't bend over. So like, he dried me, and then the next minute, as I was walking from my shower to the lounge room, my yoga ball was it's probably like 2 meters, not even that, I was like, oh my god, I think the baby's coming. And then,
whoa.
And then, like, he was like, oh, okay. And then he got my rebozo. He was trying to, like, give me a kind of a swingy tug. I was like, no, that was long gone. I was like, that was for, like, pain sort of, like, threat labor. But I was like, baby's coming. And then I went over my pregnancy bore. And then next minute, like, oh, yeah, I was still naked from the shower. So, yeah, I was like, yeah, just, like, took the towel off, like, kind of leant against my yoga ball. And then Mitchell, was behind me, because all my births, I seem to go on all fours. Like, I always want to, I said to Mitchell, my goal is to sit back and kind of take this baby into my arms. But for some reason, my body just takes over, and I just went back on all fours. And so then I started opening up, and I knew this baby was coming. And I think it shocked Mitchell. It's just kind of like, I went from shower to the lounge room, so that was like within minutes. And then so Mitchell's behind me, and next minute he's like, reach over, like, it was so quick, he's like, reach over. And I like kind of put my arm through in between my legs, and he goes, can you feel that? And I was like, I felt like a saggy, like, kind of just a saggy sack of something, because usually I feel like a hard head. And, like, yeah, you know, you just know that feeling that you've done it so many times. And, like, I was like, oh. And he goes, that's the baby's bum. And I'm like, it didn't even register. And I was like, oh, cool, like, this baby's bum. I didn't even think that it's breech at all. And I was like, okay, baby's bum's coming. And next minute, like, yeah, he just, like, helped, like, bring the baby back up in between my legs. And then he was like, the baby was breech.
Wow. So you had your breech baby.
Yeah, so the breech baby came, and, like, he was just like, yeah, so he was like, it did not register that I had breech at that time. And he was just like, this baby was breech.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And then I was like, and then he's like, he said that he's seen a foot coming out, and then the bum came out. So it wasn't like a full frank or anything. It was like a kind of cross legs with its bum coming out. And then, like, yeah, so I picked him up, and I was just like, and I checked, I'm like, he's a boy. And then, like, we're just all laughing, and then kind of, yeah, like, then the kids all kind of walk, like, so they woke up as that baby was emerging, because I could see them coming out of their bedrooms. And then my toddler, he's 4, he actually went and woke everyone up. He's like, mommy's having the baby. Like, I did not even tell him, I didn't speak to him, but he must, I don't know, like, he must remembered from his little sister's birth, because, yeah, he went and told everyone. They all came out. So a lot of the kids kind of caught the end of that prank, like, the birth. And so I got that whole, like, intimate sort of moment with Mitchell, just me and him. But then the kids all kind of came out. And then I thought, like, we all thought that's it. Like, Mitch went and told the kids to go open the blinds. Blinds have been opened. And just, yeah, me and Mitchell just soaking in this baby. And I'm like, I can't believe he was breech. And we're just, like, kind of reminiscing already, talking about how the baby was coming out. And next minute, I was like, ooh. And then I was like, ooh. And then I was like, ooh. And then I knew straight away, like, my body was opening up again. And I said, oh, Mitchell, I said, there's another one. And he goes, the placenta. And I was like, no, I said, there's another one. And everyone, and Mitch's like, close the blinds. I got other kids to close the blinds. And next minute, like, yeah, the kids are kind of like gasping, and everyone's like, and next minute, like, so I kind of got another squatting position. And then, and Mitch was still behind me, and then he was like, the baby's coming out in its sack, because, like, obviously he must have seen it was kind of different looking, and he's like, the baby's coming out in its bag. And I was like, oh, and I was thinking in my head, don't pop it, like, I didn't want him to pop it for me or anything like that. So I was like, oh. And then the baby kind of, I was pretty close to the ground, so the baby kind of was on the ground, and with my other baby too, Mitch is like, do you want me to hold the baby? And then I was like, no, I'll keep the baby close to me. So I was like trying to manage, like, this other baby and holding this baby, putting this baby down. The umbilical cord was really short, so I was like tugging everything. I was like, oh my God, what do? So I put this baby, like, I had it, I was holding the baby, and I think Mitchell was kind of like, yeah, I said, just no one touch a baby, because in my head I was thinking I didn't want my body going into any shock or anything. So I was like, no, I'll hold the baby. And then I eventually had to put twin one down to come and grab the next baby in its bag, just like, because he was in his bag. And then as soon as I touched him, it just kind of popped open, and I was like, oh my God. And then, like, I looked down, like, and then I was like, he's only, and we all thought it was gonna be a girl, and I was like, it was a boy. And then straight away I was thinking, we got identical boys. Oh no, I didn't know it was identical yet, actually, because and next minute, like, so I was holding these two babies, and everyone's like, just everyone was in awe and just shock and complete happiness. I think we had no idea what was happening, but it happened perfectly. And then and, like, it was, you probably knew the struggle, like, just trying to, like, maneuver these two babies, slippery babies, and sitting down. And then next minute I felt the placenta come out, and that's why I knew that the second baby wasn't a placenta, because mine usually kind of just slide out, like, I kind of don't feel anything. But this time, when that second baby was coming, it felt like, not more painful, but the stretch, it was kind of like I was sore already. So that stretch again, kind of opening up, I knew there was another baby coming in, and it was kind of like, yeah, it was happening again. So I knew straight away it wasn't a placenta. And then the placenta did slip out as soon as I kind of maneuvered and sat down, and it kind of plopped out, and then it was one placenta. And then I thought, like, it's identical. I've got identical twins. Again, no idea about twins. No idea about how to tell if they're identical. I didn't know anything about fused placentas. I didn't know anything about twins because it wasn't kind of in my spectrum to look up, sort of thing. Like, I had no family members, no friends. And you know what? The first thing I did with the placenta, I said, Mitchell, you know what? I said, I know someone who's had a twin pregnancy and I've seen her placenta. And I went to the Wild Pregnancy Facebook page and I looked up Bibi and I found your thing on there. And I was comparing my placenta with your placenta. Because, like, just to kind of.
Babies, huh?
What was that?
When did you have the babies?
So I had mine in August. And so your thing popped up probably a few months just before. I think it
I
wasn't
think
too long.
maybe they had the I think maybe they published me like ages ago, but then the podcast, like the episode, came out only in November.
Oh no, I was no the wild the Australian one. You know the Australian one?
Oh yes, the Australia. Oh, in the group. I
Yeah,
did
in
see the
our group chat.
placenta.
Yeah, in our
Yes,
group
yes.
chat. Yeah. So I said to Mitchell, actually, because yeah, you know, like so yeah, so when we're looking at like the placenta, we're like, it must be like identical and stuff. And by the time I walked from the lounge room to the bedroom, I got onto our group chat. And I said, because I looked up Google, and you don't want to look up Google and look up twins or placenta. Like your kid has everything. Like your babies have TTSS. I don't know. Like,
No, exactly. You are like about to die, pretty much, and your baby, they're about to die if you go to Google with twin.
never Google twins. And
No.
so I was like, no, I'm like, you know what? I remember seeing a twin birth and I seen placenta. So like I looked up yours and yours popped up and I was like, as are the same. So I think that all looks normal and healthy. So I was like, tick that off. And again, how powerful just sharing like birth stories, like for women that are in positions where they don't know these things. Like I've never had twin birth, never seen a twin placenta before. So like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that that was like a healthy, like there was nothing, no signs of anything, and ours looked exactly the same. So thank you for sharing your placenta with
I am
the
so grateful, honestly, because I remember when I had my twins, I was like, you know what? I need to share it straight away. And I remember like 1 or 2 days after, I just shared it. And then that was it. I just went into my bubble, you know? And then now I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, now I have to reshare it again because it is very powerful. Because even for me, if I hadn't listened to stories of twin birth, it was not going to be possible because I was like, no, you can't have twins at home, you know? But I heard stories and I'm like, you clearly can have twins at home, you know?
Yes, I didn't know anyone, but and then you were the first story that I had heard, and like, yeah, so people just don't realize how powerful sharing is. Like, yeah, and because I wasn't prepared for twins, like, I just, yeah, I wasn't in shock, but like, I wanted to soak up information. I didn't know where to look because I Googled it, and next minute I said to Mitchell, oh my God, like, in seriousness, I was like, I think our babies are gonna die. Like, I was like, Google told me that they've got like all these problems.
It's crazy, hey, it's
And
just
like, Mitchell was like,
crazy.
put the phone down. He said, put the phone down and do not Google anything. Like, I was so scared. Like, I don't know. And then I was like, okay, I'm not doing it anymore. Stop looking at Google. Like, oh, people don't realize that, like, yeah, the information on there, like, about how high risk pregnancy twins are and everything is so scary. Like I can imagine a poor woman like having her ultrasound, going to the doctors and hospitals and hearing all this constantly at their appointments. Like I read it for a few lines on Google, let alone someone telling me every appointment that there's a chance of everything. Like there's a chance of literally everything happening. So like I was like, yeah, I'm so happy that I didn't have ultrasounds. I didn't talk to anyone about twins or anything like that. My thoughts on twins, or and yeah, the babies were happy, healthy, thriving little bubbers.
That is so
Yeah.
good. Was the second baby breech as well or head down?
No, he was head down. So yeah, he
Yeah.
came out head down. Yes, I had one breech. Was your you had one breech and one head down too?
No. So
Well, both
my first
breech.
one was head down. The
Yeah.
second, she was breech, but she turned
Yeah.
during, like, once the one was out, she turned and then she was head down as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so similar. Like I was just thinking like how amazing that is. But
Yes.
and so I knew straight away. I'm not like I knew I think I checked your baby's weight as well on the internet, and the only thing that I was worried at the time was the baby's weight, because physically I could tell that they were healthy, they looked like babies, there was nothing wrong, but I could tell that one was a lot smaller, not a lot smaller, but smaller than the other. And I was just thinking, like, we had baby scales and or food scales, and yeah, we weighed the babies, and the twin one breech baby was 2.4 kilos. And I thought, like, yeah, that baby looks like scrumptious and just kind of like a full term baby, as in you wouldn't even know. It could have been 3 kilos, you wouldn't even know. He just looked heaps chunky. And then, but the second baby that came out in a little bag, he was a lot like, he was longer, but it looked skinnier then. Like, he looked very skinny, as in, like, he didn't show ribs or anything. He just kind of looked long, and but it wasn't as chubby. And so that was kind of like my worry, was like weight issues. And then I just thought, like, I don't want anyone to come over or anything, so I thought kangaroo care. Like, I know that there's people like our ancestors and everyone, when we didn't have humidity cribs and things, that everything was kangaroo care, get the baby straight on the chest. So I thought that this little baby had to just, he was 2 kilos, and I just thought like, he had to stay on my chest, sort of thing. And so, like, we were naked for like a whole week. I had planned, I wanted a lotus birth before I even like knew I had twins or anything, or had the twins.
Oh, so you didn't cut the cord? They stayed with the placenta, both of them. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you'll have to send me a, do you have a picture or anything?
Yeah, I've got lots of
them. Oh, you'll have to send me some then. Oh, it's amazing.
So I knew straight away that I didn't want to cut the cord, and that I wanted to have a lotus birth. And then like, the juggle was real. Like,
no idea how you did it. Mine, I was like, they were so short that I'm like, no, cut the cord, I'm not doing this.
So we got to the bed, and I knew straight away, like, I stayed there for a good 5 days in bed, kangaroo care with the little one. And then I knew straight away too that, I know in my head, I thought, I got to keep these babies together, even though they're twins and I want a lotus birth. I was sticking with my gut and thought, I'm sticking with a lotus birth, because I knew that when you cut the baby, the cord, and I was thinking, because I have so many kids in the family, everyone will want to hold the baby. So I thought, I want to keep the boys together, especially the little one with his bigger brother. So I thought that, like, I just wanted to slow the process down without having to share with everyone the baby and hold the baby, sort of thing, because there's 5 other kids to share. So I was thinking, for the baby's health and safety, I thought, keep the baby attached to the placenta more than ever. Like, I was thinking, like, at first I was doubting, should we cut it? But I was like, nah, the baby needs to stay with his brother. And if we keep them together like this, there's no excuse for anyone having to hold the baby, taken out of the bedroom and things like that. And the baby stayed with me. So within the first week, baby one put on like 1 kilo. Like, he was already over 3 kilos. Like, I produced so much milk because I was feeding the other toddlers too. But the other little baby was kind of struggling, but he started to put on weight. And I was thinking at first, when he was 2 kilos, I was like, oh, should I kind of add extra feeds, like in between feeds? But I was like, nah, like, I said, no, he'll get everything that he needs, because his suckling was so strong and good. And my other one was probably not even as strong, but my little one, you could feel him emptying the breast. So, like, he's always been, like, just under 1 kilo, always underneath his big brother. But yeah, straight away, they put on their birth weight, yeah, the first week, and everything was just there, like, oh, over their birth weight. Actually, yeah, they were past their birth weight. And yeah, so, like, yeah, I wasn't worried about their weight then, but I just remember seeing the little baby, I was a bit worried, but then he put on so much weight.
That is amazing. So the little one was 2 kilos, yeah?
Yeah, so it was 2 kilos, and that was the smallest baby I've ever seen in my life. And I said to the kids too, I said, this is, I think, will be the smallest baby you will ever meet and see. Like, I just, yeah, and I didn't, like, I wasn't worried at all, like, I could tell he's feeding, he's pooping, weeing, like, had the same cues as his brothers whenever, older brother, when he wanted to feed, like, there was just kind of, yeah, he's just exactly a normal baby, just a smaller baby, like, there was nothing wrong with him. And yeah, so that was that birth process. And then I think Friday, the placenta fell off the older brother, so the big chunky one. and then I knew that the little one wasn't ready to say goodbye yet. I knew he was going to be a bit later. And then, because yeah, the first baby was always kicking. He was just, I think he kicked the placenta off, maybe. Like, he was like, because he keeps with the breech baby. So his feet were just always kicking. and then, so the little one kicked his placenta, his umbilical cord off. On the Sunday, and it was such a special ceremony when they did lose it, like, on their own. Like, I was thinking that it kind of completed their birth on their own, and it was so beautiful. And it was kind of like when you're waiting for your kid's tooth to lose their first tooth. It's kind of like, oh, when are they gonna lose their umbilical cord? Like, it was just a special milestone. And I thought, like, if I could go back, I would probably do it for all my children. Like, it was just so special. And it slowed everything down. Because I remember with my second, I remember I was, like, out walking, pushing prams after I had him. Like, you know, that whole, like, get back into shape straight away. Like, this kind of, this just was the perfect birth. Everything was perfect. I didn't have anyone come. I didn't talk to anyone. I was just laying in bed with the babies. And I did tell a mum that I had the baby, and she organized a meal train, like one of the homeschool families. And then all this food came at the door for like a good month, and we were well supported. And I thought, like, I've never had that ever. And it was like, obviously with the twins, it was so welcomed. And, like, it was the best timing. Like, if ever I had to choose it, it definitely would have been so good for the twins, like, that support. And I said to Mitchell, like, I think every woman needs this, though, like, that whole meal train, that support. Like, I've never, ever had it before. And when I had it, I was like, this is something that everyone needs to know about, to all have a mum, like, kind of organise that for you, like, on your behalf, collect the food, do the food drop-offs. Like, it was so, like, oh. Oh, it was so beautiful. It was
so, like, good.
Community. Yeah, I just can't thank them enough how much that helped, like, that night, the next days and stuff. Like, Mitchell didn't need to, like, he could soak up the babies as well, because usually he would have to go cook, go do groceries, go do everything. So, yeah, people just don't realize how just one meal makes so much difference to a family that just had a baby. Like, it's so welcome. So if anyone's listening, and you hear your friend, your sister, someone who's had a baby, just make a meal for them, like, snacks, like, even, like, for a mum, like, that doesn't want to move out of bed. Like, I had a side table full of, like, energy bars, baby biscuits, just everything made for me. And I just think that's something that every mother needs in her life.
So, I agree. I agree. I agree. I come from a culture, my mom's culture, when your daughter is having a baby, you are, like, your duty is to be there for at least a month. So my mom came and I didn't do anything for 3 months. I was just breastfeeding. I didn't even change a nappy of any of my twins for the first 3 months. So that's the level of care I had. So I understand how, yeah, it's important, and it really, really makes a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And breastfeeding wasn't a challenge, but it was a challenge. I don't know, it was a lot of juggling. Like, I had breastfed for like 12 years, like, one after the other with all my children, and this whole twin, I just could not juggle it. Like, but I'm still breastfeeding and still at it, but I remember it was tricky with twins. Like, again, there was no information about how to twin feed. I was like, I got the pillow, but you get the big pillow, but then you have no one to pass the babies to. You're just like, I need, oh, Missy, you're in the thing. Hang on. Yeah, so you have, like, this big pillow, but you can't reach over and pick your baby up. Like, you need someone there constantly to help breastfeed twins, because, like, yeah, there's just, like, you just don't have enough arms. Like, so, again, you need that support, especially with twin parents. You need that extra hand to help with these babies, because, yeah, you physically can't pick babies up when you're laying down feeding one. You're like, pass me the other one.
You know what I used to do? You know what I used to do? I used to put them both on a pillow, and then I used to put the pillow on me.
I just felt like they're gonna roll over. Like, I'm just like trying. I just felt like one was gonna fall over. So I've kind of decided to breastfeed them. Like, kind of, I sit back and I breastfeed them, like, in love heart shape, kind of like that. And I couldn't do the football around the pillow.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Just, yeah. So I just do it like with a love heart and just kind of shove them on then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that the breastfeeding was so different. Like I've tandem fed. I do tandem feed my toddlers, but you know, if it's easy for a baby, like a toddler, to come help themselves, sort of thing, while you fix up a baby. But to try and fix one baby pops up, the other baby pops up, you just like constant. But yeah, it's just that community that had made it so much more like, yeah, life changing. So Mitchell could help me with the breastfeeding and stuff like that. So yeah, we need that again, like that community feel for mothers. It's just, yeah, much needed. But and yeah, that was like, yeah, so after the Lotus birth, like, yeah, that we buried the placenta straight away in the garden. So I felt that was the end of that pregnancy then. Like I felt like that it took a whole week for it to finish. So again, there was no rush. It was a process on its own. And so I just say all the time that the other five pregnancies I had led me to this wonderful pregnancy. And I'm so happy that I didn't have twins first. I'm happy that I had twins last. and they were just perfect, because I knew that they'll be so highly medicalized if I had them before I knew about free birth. And again, so happy that we know Emily and the free birth, because I can't imagine life them separated at hospital in separate beds and things like that. Like, to me, that's just so traumatizing for everyone. So again, the power of sharing knowledge, photos, everything is so, so, so important. and that's why, yeah, as soon as I had the babies too, I posted it, but then that was it. I didn't write comments or anything. I just wanted to let people know that you can do this. Like, you can have like a, it's not like, yeah, you can have the birth you want, and it's safe. Birth is safe. And yeah, and to, yeah, home birth, free birth, like anything, like even if you have to have a home birth with a midwife, just to stay out of that system, I think it's special as well. Like, there's no, anyone's better than the other. It's just kind of like, just I just, yeah, I think everyone needs to avoid the hospital.
I agree.
I don't know, but I just
especially
feel that,
healthy pregnancy, yeah, like when, yeah, everything is fine, yeah, home is the best place to be.
Yes, definitely. And so I'm so lucky that I had twins at home and not the hospital, because yeah, they're happy, they're thriving, and that's my story.
Yeah, that is such a wonderful story, and really thank you so much for sharing it. My question to you is, before I let you go, what did you learn from all this?
Well, I learned that, yeah, just trust, like again, just trust. Well, it's trust in it, but it's also it's the babies are going to come out of your vagina, sort of thing. Like when people freak out about breech and stuff, like there's only one entry and one exit. Like, as in, like, you don't have to worry about going over 42 weeks, you don't have to worry about things like that. Just kind of like, the babies are going to come out in their own like time, and if it's one or two, it's all meant to be. And I think that's, yeah, just trusting the process, trusting the universe, trusting everything. And like, yeah, we do make mistakes, and no mistakes, kind of more like learning curves, like how each pregnancy I learned something, and I bring it to the next pregnancy, and then I bring it to the next pregnancy. So like, I learned that there was no mistakes, there was no, oh, my kids were in hospital births, there was no mistakes at all. I learned each pregnancy, and it led me to this dream birth that will also heal and provide for my daughters and my sons what birth looks like at home, whether it's one baby, two babies. Like, it's kind of, I learned that this is what birth looks like as a family unit, and that everyone, there's no secrets about birth, there's no anything. Like, it's just kind of, yeah, birth is messy, birth is beautiful, birth is, yeah, just a family unit. Like, you just, yeah, I just, yeah, know that all the other pregnancies led me to this moment in my life, which was one of the most amazing one of the most amazing days of our lives as a whole family. Like, I think it kind of still, it's ingrained in their heads of how amazing this birth was. but yeah, I think that's what, hang on. Yeah, so that's my learning thing, that yeah, that each pregnancy was, there was no mistakes, that it all was, it led me to this birth. Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, perfect. And the last thing is, how did you register the twins in the end?
Well, that's still in the process.
Oh.
Hang on. Could you just go see what Papa's doing? Yeah, so yeah, we've got my parent, yeah, my sister and mum, and a few friends have to fill out the form. So it's just kind of been like, first it was just my family, and then they wanted more information. So it's still in the process, and it's happening.
Papa in the children, which of they are babies.
Yeah. Do you want to go play with them?
No.
Of course not. Yeah, so it's still processing. But yeah, it's just kind of, we had to take a longer journey compared to someone who's at hospital or with a private midwife, kind of. It's just kind of, it's still in the process, but it's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful story. It was just amazing to listen to you. And it's so nice to, you know, when you hear other positive birth stories, and especially if they're twins, because I feel like especially in the twin world, and especially in Australia, if you have seen some of the groups, the twin moms, it is a horror story show pretty much, yeah, from the get-go. So it's nice to give, you know, just a different perspective, that it doesn't need to be only one way, but actually there is other different ways. So it's nice, yeah, to see this side of, you know, twin pregnancy and twin birth as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, that's why as soon as I had the twins, I was like, oh my God, you can do it. Twins can be born at home. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's an option. Like, you can do it at home. And yeah, so yeah, I think that it's important to share this stuff with everyone as a fellow twin mother. Like, it's just amazing that there's two twin mums talking. That, yes, I know, like, I swear, like, I didn't know anyone, and next, you just kind of, you find your people.
Yes, so true. Thank, yeah, you again.
Thank you.
Hey, my friend, thank you so much for listening again. I think we are in for something really special in this podcast. Let's start this new movement. Hey, buckle up. There's a lot of new things and awesome things that you're gonna hear from me. And as you know, just do me a favor, please. Just take a screenshot, put it in your stories, and tag me. I promise I will definitely reshare you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.